know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh, yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business.
Oh yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. That's Vinnie with a Y. It's the most important question apparently. It's the lighter side of genocide where the worst and most terrible situations that human beings wind up finding themselves in are the stuff that we use for our gags on the show. And my very special Kiwi collaborator for today is just in time. He's written a book called The Truth Shall Set You Free. And upon recent events, a member of the New Zealand Transparency Movement, I believe her name is Joan Rea, or something, she has been locked up in the mental health services. And Justin himself has been locked up for certain political belief himself, and he's going to come on today to lay us out the actual structure and the very intention of how the mental health services were set up, at least in New Zealand, which I'm pretty sure is not entirely dissimilar from the rest of the world. Just in time, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Yes, Vinnie, and correction there, the book is entitled Truth Can Set Us Free, because we all have an option.
Yeah, that's right. Some people see truth and use it to set themselves free. The other people see truth and deny it.
Exactly. We call that denial.
Yeah. And whatever floats your boat, personally, denial doesn't float my boat because I'm not in favor of canoe traveling, especially when it's the water surrounded by dangerous Nile crocodiles, as I'm sure this metaphor really actually does correspond. If you are in denial, there's certainly an awful lot of very, very dangerous things swimming beneath the surface, and only very few people actually wind up falling off the boat in their lives, so they would never know the difference.
That would be a pretty good observation, yes, and we've got to ask the big question, why is that? When we seek the answers to the why, we can get a good understanding of the what and the who and the when.
Now, mental health services. I've known several people who have been involved with them, both on the inside as patients and on the inside as workers. And the horror stories that I hear and have seen with my own eyes from both sides of the fence are incalculable. It makes Charles Manson look like a very, very tame and very sophisticated man indeed.
Absolutely. It's an instrument that was set up originally for purposes of controlling the masses. And when you get people who object to building consent approval because it broke the rules and the house is going to be too close to a fence or whatever, if that objection is going to be an embarrassment to somebody who has influence or power, then quite often the mental health issue is used in those circumstances. Or obviously when a sergeant of a police force is having a bonk with somebody else's wife and somebody needs to be kept quiet or ridiculed, the mental health services is used as an instrument for controlling those who are deemed to be not playing the game.
Those who are deemed to be very, very dangerous indeed.
Yeah, and it was the industry itself, and I call it an industry because it's not a profession, because it is not based on science. It is based on mere opinion. And the industry was constructed and put in place straight after the Second World War. And so hospitals were given directions to set up mental health facilities and wards and services and that sort of thing. Got underway about 1952. and a bunch of people who decided to go into psychiatry once they had graduated with their medical degree. And this stepping stone into the field of psychiatry became the industry where 99% of psychiatrists entered that fraternity in order to get a better understanding of themselves. But to get that understanding of themselves, they use other members of the public as the pawn. And so go find yourself an honest psychiatrist, and he will tell you that 99% of psychiatrists, so-called, are seeking an understanding of their own dilemma.
Well, it would seem quite rational, because when you walk into psychiatric wards, it's kind of like a sterile and fearful environment, right? It's like everybody sort of, they've got their eyes on the ground. That was the strange thing that I noticed. Nobody had their head up, not even the staff. It's like they're...
It's stigmatized.
I don't know.
It is. It's because of the publicity and everything else. You've got to look at who owns the publicity machine, who owns the media outlets, who tells the editors what to print. And so that industry is veiled with a sense of shame that you're not up to the mark, you know. And when you study a lot of these people in there, I think you would come, if you were given that opportunity, you would come to the conclusion that at least 70% of people who are categorized as mental health patients, at least 70% don't need to be there. Their concerns are spiritually based and cannot be fixed with chemicals. And
Justin, does that mean that there are conditions that can be cured with chemicals?
I would rather not go and debate.
Okay, continue.
Leave us a little bit of flexibility here.
All right.
No, it is, you know, number one, it is an industry. It is set up for convenience of control and preserving the so-called integrity of the perceived elite. It is not in the best interests of mankind.
Now, you personally, what's your experience of the elite? How did you get into this kind of area of research and rhetoric, like us, like me?
Yeah, and trying to understand the big why to certain stages of my life and the experiences I had when I was forced into bankruptcy totally by surprise in one particular project that had huge potential for the benefit of mankind. And so I started looking at, hey, why did this happen? And after many months of research, I found that there were other vested interests in big business who were desiring to protect their own business, and the project I was working on was going to threaten their profits. And the more you look, the more you discover, the more you can't believe, and so the more you have to look again and go a bit deeper to try and figure out whether you're imagining everything or whether you're really stumbling onto some facts. And once you take the bait and you take the hook, you can't stop because the picture gets bigger and deeper. And unfortunately, we're not taught about all these things in school.
You wonder why you don't get through. This is the thing. You get woken up to one thing, and it opens up the doors for all of them. It's like you're going through a corridor, and the corridor is virtually never-ending, and there's no doors to the side. There's only doors in front of you, and you have to keep opening and opening and opening and opening to get forward more and more. And behind each door, there's another one, you know. It's an intricate network of closely guarded secrets that are all compartmentalized from each other and are all connected in a roundabout kind of way so as to facilitate their own secrecy.
That's right, and that preservation of that secrecy is facilitated by the pyramid structure of every aspect of social life, if you like, for the last 6,000 years, whether you want to look at churches or banks or government administrations or sports clubs or whatever. By convention, we've always had that pyramid where people strive to get up the next layer, and each level is compartmentalized. And so the left hand obviously often doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and this is capitalized to the max by the age-old tradition of scouts, if you like, hanging around university campuses, and they identify those brilliant scholars who go through with honors. And those guys, of course, are recruited and financed and sponsored for postgraduate studies. By the time they're 35 or 40, they start to wake up the fact that their research is being used for not for the benefit of mankind, but it's being used to further the interests of a vested few. And I'm talking about 4% of the global population.
4%? So, that's actually quite a lot of people there.
Well, that's, you know, the pyramids are pretty big and they're quite numerous, so you've got to have quite a bunch of people right at the top of all these different pyramids. So the researcher, the brilliant scholar, suddenly approaching middle life, and he's got family and responsibilities. By then he discovers that, my word, his scientific discoveries is not being used for the greater good. And those who try to get out of it find that they can't get out of it. They're then controlled by fear. And this is how the whole thing has been rolling for thousands of years. We go back to the emperor, you know. The emperor controlled the people and took the taxes for land because the people were kept in a state of fear. And we still have that today. And walking down that corridor you're talking about, we can either advance further into the unknown, which is the exciting part of life, or we can stop and retreat and stay in denial. And most people, unfortunately, or many people, choose to stay in denial. But then we ask the big question, why do so many people stay in denial? And we find that that's a result of contaminants in food. We find 85% of processed food now has undesirable elements in it and contaminants, toxins.
Many of which have untold effects on the brain and, delay people's development, making them not be able to think quite as much, or even, in the case of aspartame, actually eating the brain itself away.
Yep, many of these ingredients target the pineal gland and the spiritual component of ourselves, because if we are dumbed down to the extent where we don't recognize that we have a spiritual component or a higher self or a higher guidance facility, then we're much easier to control. We become totally robotically compliant. And we don't question the orders that come down from the upper levels of the pyramid. And that's what we've got in most of our government agencies all around the world now.
And how long has it been this way? You know, is it getting worse?
Really?
Is it getting worse, or is it actually getting exposed at a rate where we would be encouraged to see it eventually eroded and rotted away forever? Is it replenishing itself? These are the questions and the answers that I really need to know.
I think we are generally becoming much more aware of it since the advent of the internet, because that's given us our own individual access to communicate with other people around the world. Prior to the internet, all of the media instruments, be it television or newspapers or the old telex machine, all of those instruments for communication were totally controlled by those at the top of the respective pyramids. But the internet, although it was designed to be a military tool, escaped its own cage, and it's become accessible to the public. So, you know, the world has become much smaller since 1990, basically. So you're becoming more aware of these controls, although the the ideology and the methods of control have been in place for a very long time.
Well, and they're getting more technologically advanced, more sophisticated. It's like at the same time that humanity is advancing using technology to accomplish things that are merely sort of like an amplification, like a crane is an amplification of my arm, allows me to move bigger objects higher, or a cell phone is an amplification of my voice. I can yell across great distances and things like that. What's happening now with technology is that it's advancing the aims of psychopaths that are in control, the elite of which you speak. And if we've got a society now, a technologically technocratic, you know, scientifically advanced dictatorship type of model, what exactly are they planning for us? I mean, in terms of day-to-day life, if everything they wanted to have happen happened, day-to-day life would be very, very different. Be curfews every day, police on every corner, cameras in everybody's homes, artificial intelligent computers.
You're heading for that now. Many people haven't realized it, but if you look at the younger generation of the recruits from police training academies, they're coming out. The 30-year-olds are out there with no respect for anybody else, and they're obviously being trained towards riot control rather than being trained as a peace officer.
Well, you know what? That reminds me of a story just came out yesterday. Tiki Tane, a very, very prominent New Zealand musician, was arrested at 3:25 a.m. at a bar in Tauranga called, wait for it, the Illuminati. And guess which song he was singing? If the Police, written by Ice Cube in 1988, while he was part of the NWA, which was a protest song. And some police hothead got it in their mind that it was a great idea to arrest a bar member, arrest the musician, arrest the DJ, you know, kind of thing. This sort of brutality is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, you can call it brutality, but if they're brainwashed in their training to be the legal authority of their community, you know, so it's up to you guys when you graduate, when you're out on the street, it's up to you guys to keep the peace, you know, and this is how you're going to have to do it. Then that gets set in their mind. Of course, the ego, the human characteristic that's most vulnerable, the ego is played to. Example, Piggy Muldoon's ego was appealed to when he was selected as director of the World Bank.
Director of the World Bank?
Once he was made a board member of the World Bank, then they told the rules. But they appealed to his ego to get him to accept the position and then gave him a lot of publicity, and everybody around New Zealand thought, hooray, we've got a brilliant Prime Minister here.
Well, see, this is the reason why I came up with the term Prime Sinister. My very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is Justin Time, our very special Kiwi collaborator. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Join us in the chat room there. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's alternative media. Because when the media won't do their job, don't bother fighting them, just replace them, because they're no longer relevant. And they're pretty freaking pathetic, quite frankly. It's actually not that hard to make better news than mainstream media, because there's a heck of a lot you can say that they can't. That is far more interesting and less dry and manufactured with very nice teeth. My very special guest is Justin Time, coming at us live from New Zealand. Justin, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, getting into it, there's this lady here, I've just pulled her up, Kate Rao from TINS, Transparency in New Zealand, website dedicated to telling true stories of corruption in New Zealand, you know, and just relating this back to what you said before, is she fits the profile, doesn't she? All right. For more than 1 month now, she's been improperly detained in the mental health facility called Rangipapa in Porirua, New Zealand. Kate has been denied both basic civil and human rights during and throughout her quote-unquote detainment. And when she was detained, she had never been medically diagnosed or assessed as having a mental disorder. And today, based on reports of direct observations or info from other sources, including family, or dubiously garnered, Kate is being treated as if she has a mental disorder and is currently under doctor's instructions to be forcibly medicated. She's forcibly medicated with two different pills, risperidone and aripiprazole. Their use together is outside the terms of the manufacturer's instructions. Incapacitation, anyone? And for the treatment of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Now, this is a the subject of a petition at Care 2 petition site. You can Google release Kate Rao, R-A-U-E, to help her. And this is the reason why I had Justin on today, because of his knowledge of that particular system. So does it sound like a textbook case to you here?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would I'd be very quick to suggest that the lady you're talking about get hold of the Mental Health Act and various other acts, and she write a formal letter to all of the directors of the hospital board of the facility where she is being deprived of her liberty, and she asks for full disclosure and explanation of the grounds upon which somebody has made a decision to deprive her of her liberty. The full disclosure means that they must, therefore, put in writing the grounds that they have acted on, what is the legal footing for that decision, and it will come to light that some years ago, it used to require two psychiatrists to sign after interviewing and assessing a person. It required two signatures to detain somebody against their will under the Mental Health Act. That was modified so only one signature is currently required, which made it much easier for the powers that be to put somebody out of the way, if you like, and to stigmatize their character with a mental health blemish, be it real or imaginary. But that's the first thing. I would start a paper trail, and I would ask for full disclosure on what basis, and then that would we can go from there.
Now, in terms of coping while inside, you were concerned at one point that they would be drugging you without your knowledge. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's through food. In my own instance, I talked very nicely to all the staff involved and told them that I didn't want to be subjected to that that trickery, and that I'd be playing the piano twice a day to check on the coordination. And if I started making some mistakes on the piano, I would assume that my coordination was being got at through the food, and I would hold each and every one of them accountable till the end of my days. So with a very tactful discussion with each one, my food seemed to be untouched. I got myself vitamin supplements and minerals brought in by outsiders who were free to go for a walk now and again. I made sure that I had sufficient vitamin supplements to keep my stress level down and stay on top of the situation and remain calm, and to remain very observant and make notes all the time. The day came eventually when common sense prevailed and I was released, and then I could fall back on all of my notes and start some legal action. That's what needs to happen, because the publicity machine has convinced most unsuspecting public that the mental health industry is indeed a service, whereas it's not. It's not a service for the greater good.
Well, it's a service that kills more people than the special air services, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And the truth needs to come out, and people need to understand that. And if we have a person in there now who's convinced that she's being detained against her will with no moral or medical grounds behind the detention, then we all need to hook into that and look at it and help her as best we can.
Yeah, and it's like I say, you know, an attack on one is an attack on all. You know, if you don't stand up behind people who have this terrible stuff happening to them, who's going to stand up for you? Okay,
absolutely. We need to get the 20-year-olds understanding what's happening and how these foundations have been set in place, because 20-year-olds are the incoming generations, and they need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's difficult nowadays with the vapid and vacuous nature of the youth to get them to really, I don't know, place the bargaining chips on the table to invest in research like this. They think that watching a documentary that's like an hour and a half, hour long or whatever, is like a big time investment and not worth the effort, when they could and most likely will at some point develop problems that will involve mental health services in some way, shape or form, or somebody they know.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there's a great documentary called Industry of Death, or Psychiatry and Industry of Death, and another one called Making a Killing. And that was even viewed on Māori television here in New Zealand, where they stipulated and provided much documentation for that pharmaceutical companies, especially the larger ones, have completely corrupted the psychiatric industry, if it wasn't corrupt to begin with, and now basically just hired guns to push copious quantities of extremely dangerous, untested, placebo effect, migrated and unsafe medications. Basically, the entire world's population has become more or less a giant guinea pig cage.
Exactly. Now, you know, get it right, on the psychiatric industry was set up from day one to do exactly that, as a legal means of unlawfully controlling people.
Right, so if we've got people who really have that particular intention, how exactly do you get rid of them? My solution is obviously shine the light of day onto them, you know, throw a camera on them, talk about them on radio. Because, you know, when I heard about this thing, you know how we get so many offers and all of that kind of stuff, Justin, for people asking for our help and needing us and all of that kind of jazz. And, you know, I try to help out everybody as best I can. But this one I was basically prepared to flog off until somebody posted it on Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group as well. So it's just like, okay. Going. And I'm just like, man, this is absolute textbook stuff.
Truth is the light, Vinny, and by bringing out the truth, you need to have media and resources that will distribute the truth to the people, and that's what you're doing, and that's what mainstream media is not allowed to do. The editors get the sack.
I gave a call to this particular facility where they were holding her. And I say, oh, g'day, how you going, mate? And he's like, oh, yeah, pretty good, how are you? I'm like, oh, well, you know, just trying to get a hold of Ms. Kate Rao. I'm Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show calling in, because I'd really like to schedule an interview with her about how she's being detained and force medicated without her will. And he's like, oh okay, I'll get the head nurse. So the head nurse comes on. I go, hey, how's it going? She's like, oh, I'm wonderful, thank you. And I say, I'm Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I'd really like to interview Kate Rao about being forced medicated and being held against her will by mental health services. And she goes, hold on, I'll just transfer you to somebody else. And that led to an answer phone.
Yeah, well, you may well laugh, Vinny, but in 1988 in New Zealand, the mental health industry was exposed enough after deep sleep experiments, and that was to do with the first documentary you mentioned, Industry of Death. Now, Basil James was the head of New Zealand Mental Health in 1988, so he was eventually discharged from service in New Zealand. But he was picked up and re-employed across the ditch, and he was made professor of the Dean of Psychiatry at Townsville University, and he was put in charge of the Queensland Mental Health Services after being sacked from New Zealand. So that's how it works. You there? Hello?
Hello, hello. Sorry about that. I heard all that. I was thinking to myself, what exactly is going to happen? Will I, for trying to expose the psychiatric industry, wind up getting committed to at some point?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me either. You know why? Because anybody who becomes dangerous, who starts voicing all of this stuff, mm-hmm. becomes a target instantly. Now, my theory is that if I'm in the public eye, they become a target. Whether or not they act on that targeting is very different from whether or not there's a possibility, right? And my thoughts are that if I'm in the public eye as much as possible, it can then protect me so that I can expose all these different scumbaggery-type groups by getting on the experts who can expose them without me necessarily having to do all the research, but just bring on the research, okay? So I can sort of jump the gun. That way, not only do I have a little bit of a public eye on me, so if anything happens, it'll shoot up a lot of red flags. And I'm sure if the state tried to do something like that to me, there'd be quite a few activists who'd be very, very upset.
Well, it's all about getting the truth out there, you know. So, yeah, investigate, get the truth. And like I'm saying, this woman, if she's being detained against her will, and if she's being medicated without her consent, we need to get in there and support her. So through your contacts, try and find out what you can, and I will offer my time as best I can to help. And she will need, once she gets out of this, she will need detoxing before she will be able to rationally confirm or testify anyway, because she'll be so loaded up with heavy metals that the brain's not going to be as functioning as good as it could be.
Yep. That's what they do. In fact, you know, I hear the story all the time. That's why I keep saying it's a textbook case. It's a textbook case, and I can't stop it. It's the fact that it goes on at all is scary enough. The fact that it goes on so freaking often.
ask the question. You may find that this woman wanted to go and sue a bank or to sue a counselor or somebody.
Yeah.
You go and ask why. Did she attract attention to herself? And we'll go right back and find the cause of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think you might be right. This is the thing. When you become suspicious and you become cynical, inevitably, when you think about the New World Order and all the various mechanisms of control, half the time you're right, if not more. Just from blind suspicion, just because we know how the enemy kind of operates.
Yeah, well, you know, the key is asking the question why. Seek the answer to the why. Why did she get detained? Why did somebody classify her? Seek the answers for everything. When we pursue the question why, then we start to get the understanding.
Yeah. And coming up after the break, I want to discuss with you, Justin, about this Japanese nuclear crisis and how people might be able to protect themselves by just basically being a little bit more informed about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can check out Justin Time's website at ubthejudge.co.nz, and you can listen to this show live on the internet at www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. It's the lighter side of genocide. We'll be right back.
Me driving and I won't stop, and it feels so good to be alive and on top.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the future, from the fabulous fluoridated Eftard, Auckland City, New Zealand. My very special guest, Justin Time, joins us now, and I'm going to give him the floor for a bit in this final segment of the first hour to break down the Japanese scenario for you all. Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Time. Go ahead, mate.
Thank you, Vinny. Just like to say that the feedback from researchers who have been watching very closely the Fukushima incident, the feedback is not good. We are in for a very long haul through many generations of being constantly harassed by radiation in the water supply, radiation in the food chain, radiation in the air, because some of this long-term radiation does not break down and does not decay, and the wind will pick it up and take it wherever it wants to. So the brief overview is that the whole planet is going to become contaminated by radiation released, and is still being released and is likely to be released for many years to come because of technical problems involved in trying to put fire out. So what's the effects of radiation? You're going to have many, many more deformities. You're going to have many more behavioral problems and intellect decay or decline in the intellect of the new incoming generations. And as we just heard the other day, a two-year-old in America died of breast cancer. And we have quite a few young 4- and 5-year-olds in Auckland Starship these days experiencing leukemia and other blood disorders, which turn out to be terminal and fatal. We will have much more of that because of radiation contamination in the sperm of the male or in the ovum of the female or in the blood while the woman is carrying, or just associated with the air that we breathe and the water we drink and the food that we eat. Bear in mind that 85% of processed foods today are loaded with undesirable toxins, so it doesn't leave us a lot of choice. Even if we do have our own back veggie garden, we've got to try and ensure somehow that the water we put on the veggie garden is radiation-free and does not have any of this nanotechnology emanating from Massey and Auckland universities. We really need to become aware of what is happening in the big picture and the answer to the big question, why is this happening? Okay?
So why is it happening? Are they starting the long talked about eugenics kill-off of 85 to 95% of the world's population?
I believe that's been underway for at least one generation. What you're seeing now is it's getting into full swing. It's gone past the stoppable time.
Yeah, yeah. So this is totally irreversible, and there's nothing we can do, is there?
Apart from regular and full intensive cleansing of the body to stay on top of radiation contamination. But that's an individual choice. It's an individual responsibility. You can't, of course, do it to 100, you can't detox 100,000 people just by radio waves. So it's an individual thing. It has to come from the inside out.
So everybody's basically got to take responsibility for their health and their cleansing with this. What can people do?
They can seek by updating their knowledge on it. Instead of depending on the local doctor who just depends on manuals which are written by the pharmaceutical industry, people have got to start taking their own destiny into their own hands and remembering that they might be the keeper of their soul, but they're the master of their own destiny. We've got to foster responsibility and awareness, massive education, jerking people out of the comfort zone that we've been so conditioned to be in for the last 10 generations.
So let me just see if I've got this right. It's the end of life as we know it. A lot of people are going to die or be deformed or be born mentally deficient or become even more mentally deficient. It's basically just an accelerated form of a program that's been, in full swing for a long time, but now is getting into high gear. The car has left the driveway and the driver is a maniac and he's got a full tank of gas.
Yeah, much as many of the intellectuals will not wish to agree, but I believe that we are in devolution mode. The human species is not evolving, it is devolving.
Well, that's why I always say, you know, I don't believe in the theory of evolution, but I certainly believe in devolution.
That is exactly what's happening. Statistics, again, you can't rely on statistics unless you keep them yourself, but with the internet these days, people can do their research. They can get realistic figures, which the official news stories from Fukushima is not an inkling towards the reality of that catastrophe over there.
She said the Frenchman who was in Japan released a YouTube video. They were showing pizza commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it doesn't get worse than this. And I don't know. I say permission to freak out. You know?
I
can't do anything about it now. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit self-indulgent by laughing about it because I just kind of want to deny the reality because there's nothing I can do about it. Maybe that's it.
Well, there is something we can do about it if people share the truth and face the reality.
The problem is I'm already doing that, and it's very scary.
then people have got to look at what responsibility means to become a parent, to bring somebody else into the world of such a mess. If the offspring that we're going to generate or produce is not going to have a chance at being of living a normal life.
How do you live in a world where there is like no chance of living a normal life? Now that's a good question to leave it on. I'd like to thank you, Hugh, for coming on the show with us today. His website, ladies and gentlemen, is ubethejudge.co.nz. Thanks very much, Justin, for coming on.
Righto, brother. Anytime.
See you, mate. There he goes. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. All right, coming up, hour number two of another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Back in a moment.